This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is Inside Story with Sharmila Ganesan and Lee Chui Lin. Tonight, we're diving right into the lemon law and how it might protect consumers.
So first, we look into what a lemon law covers and how it works, and then what rights do consumers have at the moment after purchasing faulty items?
Tell us, have you ever bought a faulty item and what did you do? You can call 7733 2900, send us a voice note or WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:07, and the Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs Ministry has said that they're looking to improve laws on the sale and purchase of used vehicles, including a proposal to introduce the Lemon Law, which would extend beyond just used vehicles, but actually is a very consumer affirmative law to have in place. And so we thought we'd spend today unpacking what it could do.
So to be clear, I think most people, when you hear the word lemon, outside of the fruit, outside of the drink, I think that the most common association will absolutely be with cars, right? It's the phrase that's most often used in that context. But in theory, what a lemon law does is protects consumers who buy products that have lifespans of more than 6 months. So some of the things that it ought to cover are existing damage, the possibility of an accident, and the ability to make a claim if you received a defective product. So if we look at how this relates to used cars, which is the conversation that's currently happening, according to Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs Minister Datuk Sri Alexander Nantalingi, a total of 1,126 cases related to the sale and purchase of used vehicles were recorded by the Consumer Claims Tribunal from the start of this year, basically until now. And these claims involve 3.68 million ringgit. So the feeling here is that the law could protect consumers from becoming victims of fraud or having to bear losses when they buy used. The proposal is being discussed at the ministerial level. And the update is that they are in the middle of gathering industry input.
So the Federation of Motor and Credit Companies Associations of Malaysia and their president, Dato' Tony Koh, said that a law like this that is already enforced in other countries would definitely provide extra protection for consumers and that this would boost consumer confidence when it comes to purchasing used cars. So I'm just going to quote Dato' Tony. He said, if there are manufacturing defects, the suppliers must be held responsible for fixing it. Unfortunately, the responsibility currently falls on the car dealers since we do not have a lemon law here. Now, speaking of that, actually, fairly close to home, Singapore actually has a lemon law. And I think this offers a useful frame through which to look at what we could have in place and how this would help us. So this comes in the form of amendments to the Consumer Protection Fair Trading Act that came into effect in 2012. And under this act, consumers are allowed to make claims for defective products purchased within 6 months. And that Lemon Law covers all general consumer products that are sold in Singapore. For instance, electronics, furniture, vehicles, apparel, stationery. But it doesn't apply to services or business-to-business or consumer-to-consumer transactions. Now, sellers of the defective product would have to repair, replace, refund, or reduce the price of the product if it's found to be, well, a lemon, right? And repairs have to be made within a reasonable amount of time, failing which a refund or a price reduction has to be given. So I think if we look at the frame of that, it becomes quite clear how that would offer consumers more confidence when buying products in the market. And I actually feel like this is something has been a long time coming in Malaysia, or rather, people probably don't think about this enough when they think about purchasing and the rights they have as a consumer.
So that's exactly it. I was going to say that I don't think I am a very good consumer in that if something goes wrong, I feel like I feel like I am not empowered enough to push back when somebody then tells me, well, the warranty, well, I don't know. Even if what I've purchased, and I have purchased some lemons, is clearly a lemon, like it came to me not working very well. And so the idea that this is going to go through, firstly, or for that matter, that we may already have consumer rights protections within the law that I'm just not aware of, is to me quite empowering. And I think something that, again, it would be nice for the ministry to have clear communications and PSAs on, because I think that this is something that we all need to know, because the truth is that terms and conditions from place to place will differ. And many of us will read that and go, ah, well, okay. I've passed the 6-hour window that the warranty was going to hold, so it's fine. I guess that's it. That's just money down the drain.
So we are asking you, have you ever bought a faulty item? And what did you do? You can call 7733 2900, send us a voice note or WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're discussing this and talking about how a lemon law would benefit consumers in Malaysia. So keep those thoughts coming. We'll be back after this with Dr. Ong Tze Chin, Senior Lecturer with the Faculty of Law at University Malaya. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Building fit Malaysians, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:14. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we're talking about how having a lemon law in Malaysia would help protect consumers, essentially those who buy products that have a lifespan of more than 6 months, and being able to seek redress for it, either through a refund or repairs. And so we're asking you, have you ever bought a faulty item? What did you do? You can call 7733 2900, send us a voice note or WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is Dr. Ong Tze Chin, Senior Lecturer with the Faculty of Law at University Malaya. Dr. Ong, good to have you with us.
Hi, Sharmila and Lynn. Good to have you. Good to having me here.
What do you make of this announcement from the Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs Minister about the planned introduction of a lemon law?
Actually, I was shocked or surprised. Actually, we already have a lemon law, okay? It is under the Consumer Protection Act, right? It's particularly Part 5 of guarantee in respect of supply of goods. So being in this part, they actually govern the implied guarantee as to acceptable quality and a guarantee for the fitness for a particular purpose, and also even a guarantee for repairs and spare parts. So this guarantee is not what the warranty and the guarantee card you just now, Aline, had mentioned, provided by the manufacturer. This implied guarantee, it means that whether or not the product comes with this particular warranty or guarantee, it is implied that certain products or you buy, it should actually fit for the acceptable quality, right? So it's even covered under the Act itself. It says that the goods shall be deemed to be acceptable quality, fit for all purpose, right? Acceptable in apparent and finish, free from minor defects, safe and durable, right? I was shocked why we already have that in consumer protection law. You know, I suppose this lemon law might be it is to cover just the defective second-hand cars, right, which are more specific, right? I'm not quite sure.
So I guess just to clarify then, where might the confusion be coming from, especially considering mm-hmm. that this already sits within our consumer protection laws?
I suppose the words of lemons, because our definition of goods under the consumer protection law is already covered used goods, right? Used good can be anything, you know, but I think most of the time, I think it's the mentality. Mentality think that, oh, good, this under the Consumer Protection Act, it only covers new purchase. But it is not. It actually covers used item as well.
So, to be clear, what do our consumer protection laws currently cover? What legal protections do we have when it comes to the purchase of defective goods?
Yes, it actually provides you with the remedies for repair, return, right, and actually reduce in price. there's a few, I would say, the hierarchy of remedy you can apply, right, in this situation. It's just that you need to, the consumer need to bring a claim to consumer claim tribunals, right? So even though the second-hand products or second-hand goods to sell, it should have certain acceptable quality.
So this lemon law, what are its origins? Where does it come from?
Okay, it is. Its origin can trace back. It started in America, in US. It started in 1975, right? It's by this California. In California, is at the beginning, it called it Medicine Moss Warranty Act, right? It's just governed the warranty for the used car. Actually, lemons is not just used for cars or second-hand cars. It can use for any product which is substandard quality. They call it lemons, right? So, for example, this California, they revised the law, they put under the civil code itself, right? So the after that, then there's 1982 itself, we have a Connecticut state statute, right, in the U.S. itself. Then started on, they have all this govern the used car.
So do most countries have a lemon law? How does it differ from country to country?
No, not all the countries have lemon law, actually. But some is governed, just like what I say, like for Malaysia, we have the Consumer Protection Act. It provides the guarantee for the goods itself, right? For example, the country we have Singapore, South Korea. Singapore also is not called, the effect is similar like lemon law, but it is governed under the Consumer Protection Fair Trading Act, right? So they are more specific, like saying they give them within 6 months of purchase, so we are not happy, you can actually return the goods or reject the goods. So what you can ask for, reduce in price, and the definition of the defective product was there, right? So they are more clear. But again, it is the same effect like a lemon law. Just for example, like UK as well. UK do not have a lemon law, but they are governed under their Consumer Rights Act 2015, right? They provide the similar like Malaysia. We are quite following the UK development. So that is why they govern the goods to be satisfactory quality, right? This satisfactory qualities is involved second-hand goods and all these other implied guarantees under it.
So the thing is, right, that having to go to a consumer tribunal might feel like a lot of effort for many people. Is this a common process when it comes to applying the lemon law?
Actually, the process, if we're talking about access to justice, whether a consumer can simply bring a claim, it's very simple. So the process is you don't need to even pay money nowadays. You can actually file in your claim online. They have an online system. Even they have WhatsApp. The problem, I think, is not how the law is the implementation and application. So most of the time, even though you file a claim in consumer claim tribunal, you can't get the satisfactory remedies, right? Some of the tribunal might not give you. That's the problem. The application of the law. Our Cabinet HDB, particularly our tribunal, sometimes I did sit in for some cases. I also feel frustrated. You know, the application and the interpretation of the act itself wasn't following poor consumer, right? So I can give some example. For example, I say, oh, my warranty period lapsed after 6 months. So do I have a claim? The answer is yes. You have to understand what is warranty and guarantee. Warranty and guarantee is actually provided by the manufacturer or the seller to tell you that, hey, I ensure that my product is good. This is to what you call protect my good names or the company of the manufacturer. That is their own, with what I call is a corrector agreement, right? So after this guarantee or warranty period provided by the manufacturer or the seller expired, do consumer have a claim, right? The answer is yes, right? So you still have the law, you still have the rights. So the problem is understanding the consumer rights exist even beyond the warranty and guarantee period provided by the manufacturer or the dealer or the supplier, which is provided under the Act.
Dr. Ong, you know, as a consumer, how can we actually know when we have a claim? Can we go speak to an expert? How would we know?
Oh, you can just file a complaint. You know, first of all, normally That's what we call a private remedies, which is if you are not happy, there's called after sale service, right? So you call, you talk to your seller, you know, and the retailer about it. If they do not provide a satisfactory remedy for you, you can always go to Consumer Claim Tribunal. Like what I say, it is throughout the Malaysia, every state has their Consumer Claim Tribunal, right? So it's the claim format are very simple. You do not need to have legal representative, right? So recently, they also increased the amount of claim to 50,000 ringgit. Anything to do with 50,000 ringgit, you can go there. But unfortunately, I would say some of the tribunal or the president in the tribunal itself, whether they understand the core purpose of consumer protection law and how to apply the Consumer Protection Act itself is problematic. So some of them will tell you, hey, warranty and guarantee expired, so you do not have a claim. Since the tribunal is of such a view, then I would say that they will have a problem in actually upheld what is enshrined in the law.
So you mentioned earlier that there are different levels of redress or recompense here. Can you talk to us about what forms or, you know, basically how much does it allow?
The amount of claim is allowed for 50,000. Okay, first of all, they will say that if the product is failed on implied guarantees, so if the supplier agreed, right, to actually repair, to give you a repair, then consumer have a chance to provide, they give you a chance for the supplier to go for repair first. They can either repair the products, right, so or repair, replace the product or pay you back the money. That is a choice, right, because that is to encourage the negotiation between the parties. All right. So if the suppliers refuse to repair, to actually correct the failures, I would say, so they will give you the chance to repair in the places where the consumer think that it should repair and also claim the cost for repair from the supplier. Right. That is under our Consumer Protection Act itself. All right. So if the failure cannot be repaired, so what is the consumer have rights? The consumer has the rights to reject the item altogether. It means say, I don't want. So I return the products to you, right, and get back the money I have paid, and or I get the replacement from elsewhere and claim for the cost, right, or get the compensation from the supplier itself.
So in Malaysia, only two cases of the Lemon Law has actually been applied. Why do you think it hasn't been explored, especially when we look at the high number of cases that come through the Consumer Claims Tribunal?
So first of all, I think there is a few level of problem. So far, I know in these two cases are related to used cars, the car and dealer of the car itself. Not used car, it's actually a dealer car, you know, the new car itself. Right, so that is directly related to Lemon Law. So why they don't go to, first of all, I think Malaysian consumer behavior, we are very good, you know. At our being Malaysian, we are, never mind, you know, I am too bad, I buy a wrong thing, you know. We don't have this consumer rights attitude that fight for our rights. You know, we feel it's so seriously about this wrong, you know, we don't have that. Is a behavior problem and also attitude, right? So again, most of the time, consumers do not know where to go. And this Consumer Claim Tribunal do not have require a legal representative. So again, the lawyer cannot represent you there. So the lawyer wouldn't take up the case because, you know, it's too little, the amount of claim is not worthwhile, right? So there's no one to fight for your claim. So that's why we have other NGOs like National NCCC, the Complaint Bureau. And most of the time, I think consumers are feel more at ease when they complain to the NGOs rather than the tribunal. Because like what I say, the tribunal will not give them a satisfactory remedy. So even though we have the law there. So again, then they choose the other channel to complain. Right?
We have just 2 minutes left with you. Are there gaps in the current laws that require amendments? How would you like to see consumer rights better protected?
Yes, I would say the current law have can be improved, should be improved in a way that provided the implied guarantee is there, right? Though the specific time when is the time that you can complain about, which you can actually lodge a claim. So, for example, Singapore provides for 6 months, right? Even used product, they have also 6 month guarantee. How long is the guarantee period, right? So, what amount of guarantee it should be? So, what are the responsible for the dealer, even the secondhand dealer itself, right? Or the manufacturer, right? So that should be more specified. And also, I think one thing is clearly lack of is we don't have the cooling off period. So cooling off period, it means that you purchase a certain product, so you have used some time, right? It is found to be defect. So how about the rejection? Can you reject it? You know, so that is cooling off period should be there, right? So there is also other specified, like you just now Lynn mentioned about warranty and guarantee. We don't have a certain product that have this guarantee period is provided, most of the time is provided by the manufacturer. So how long it should be, right? So some is tell you 1 month, 6 months, some say 12 months. So, you know, this is not is based on their company and industry standards. We don't have a universal standard. For example, the car should be 5 years, the manufacturer should be responsible for, right? Like, for example, certain products which is fridges, you can last for at least 5 years, they should have all this. So we buy in terms of warranty and guarantee provided by the manufacturer itself, there's no standard terms or times or how what they should govern. So that is all up to the manufacturer. That is major the problem. And understanding the consumer rights still there, even after the warranty period, is another big problem. That even our ministry or our tribunal have a problem with that.
Dr. Ong, thanks for speaking with us. That was Dr. Ong Tse Chin, Senior Lecturer with the Faculty of Law at University Malaya. Let us know, have you ever paid for and then received a faulty item? What did you do? Did you return it? Did you get a refund? Share your experiences with us. You can call 7732900. You can send us a voice note or WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Break from mediocrity. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:39. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And we're talking about consumer protection by way of the Lemon Law, which the Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs Ministry proposes to introduce. But as we heard from our guest earlier, we already have the mechanism. Basically, the rights for consumers to be able to either return or and get a refund or request for repairs on items that have a shelf that have a life of more than six months and upwards. So we're really asking you, what do you do when you buy something that is faulty? Do you know what you're supposed to do? Have you had this experience before? Share your thoughts with us. You can call 7732900, WhatsApp or send us a voice note 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
So let me tell you what I've done in the past. I've suffered in silence. And I wanted to start off by saying that mostly because whenever we do these shows or whenever I read these stories, the first thing I think is, why didn't I just do the thing that you're supposed to do, right? Which is, well, try the company and then after that, try the tribunal, as we clearly heard from our guest, Dr. Ong, earlier. And I think that a lot of it comes down to the amount that you paid for the item and the effort that you're willing to put in for it. So a lot of the messages that we're getting have to do with cars, and that's very understandable. Firstly, the term Lemon Law in and of itself clearly indicates, right, that it's mostly to do with cars, but also because they're such, even at a used car level, they're such a big investment for us, and they also so heavily impact our ability to get around, they heavily impact our safety. So it's therefore no wonder that cars are top of mind. But I also think that on a day-to-day basis, right, the items that we particularly buy online, not that online is worse, just that we can't check it out before we check it out and get it delivered. I think the stuff we buy online is particularly prone to this sort of thing. I've bought a bad laptop. Laptops, I think, are really frustrating because they show up and you're like, I can't work, and it's tough. My sister has bought a vacuum cleaner and got and got pushed around quite a bit while trying to get it sorted out within the warranty period until the warranty period expired. And then they told her, well, the warranty period's expired and we can't do anything. And I find it hard to imagine that these are the only horror stories people have.
I've had challenges with furniture that after you purchase, it ends up being flimsy and breaks upon, say, like someone sitting on it for a couple of days. And you know, I have to say that at that time, I didn't know what to do. I thought to myself, how do I prove that I didn't do something? How do I prove that I didn't just mishandle this item and that's why it broke? But I think it is no coincidence also, and this is coming through in the message, your point about cars are also more expensive, right? And it's viewed as an investment. It's viewed as something that people not just save up for, but also take loans to purchase. And therefore, perhaps people are more likely to bring that up or to file a complaint. But I think it's worth saying that these sorts of issues actually occur across the board with a number of items. And hearing Dr. Ong earlier, the one thing I was thinking to myself was, I think a huge part of the issue is that we're just not aware of what we can do in terms of redressal. And also, I don't know if this is just me, but there's a part of me that's a little shy of being told, you're just making a big fuss. You know, like, stop making a big fuss, stop making things difficult for people. And that's something that I personally need to get over as well.
So while we're airing out dirty laundry, I guess, or laundry that couldn't be cleaned because the washing machine didn't work after you bought it, we want to hear from you. The question really is whether you've ever bought something that you thought was going to work and then it didn't. And then what did you do? Because if you're an empowered consumer, then I want to know, because I could certainly use the
teach
advice.
Us, give us tips.
Exactly. And if you're not, join us in our corner of shame. I think that's the whole idea here. That number to call is 7733-2900. You can send us a voice note or a WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We do, however, have some thoughts on cars.
Right. So, Ebi Farai is saying, now, I have to confess, I don't know how to pronounce this word. Marque? Mark?
Mark, I think.
Mark, right? All right. So, Ebi says, I bought a foreign Mark that was new after much research. Quite a few issues from the get-go. Worst was the car engine shutting down when slowing down or stopping from highway speeds. Started happening after 1 year of ownership. Sent to service center for more than four times until the warranty of the car ended by the second year and it wasn't fixed. Spent more than 10,000 ringgit troubleshooting the issue with outside mechanics until we gave up. We learned to live with the engine shutting down until we upgraded to a new car 8 years later. Imagine whenever we exited a highway toll, we can expect the engine to shut down and lose power steering. If we have to exit a toll that had a curved ramp before it, we have to be extra careful, grip the steering wheel tightly to not lose control of the car during the inevitable engine shutdown. Same issue if we had to emergency brake. My case would have benefited from the lemon law since this is a very serious safety issue. We have to stop using the car for any long distance travel and only use it for short school or market runs. It was an MPV and we wanted to use it for long distance travel. Oh my goodness, the years spent having to contend with this alone is giving me both anxiety and also fury.
Yeah, it's such a... I can't imagine having to deal with, in the words of Ebi Furai, the inevitable engine shutdown, right? Coming to terms with the fact that this is the degree of the lemon you bought. It is huge and bitter and constantly being shoved down your throat on a daily basis. That is frustrating. And you're right. I think that the lemon law, your case absolutely would have benefited from it. Now, having said that, as our guest earlier established, we actually have protections under the Consumer Rights Act already. The question appears to be how they're being implemented, especially on a case-by-case tribunal level. So, because something like this sounds clearly like it should have been brought forward and like it's a very straightforward case of, clearly there's an issue here.
Ebi, if you would like to get back in touch and tell us whether that was something you considered, whether it's something you tried or why you didn't, we'd be happy to hear from you. We also have, we have a few people on Twitter talking about particular car brands. Ivan saying, absolutely rubbish. Even the KPD and HEP couldn't resolve the issue with my car. And then eMacro says, the lemon law should protect car buyers from particular brands that have failure and defective gearboxes.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I feel as if the ways in which the law is individually interpreted, whether you go to the tribunal, whether you go to a company, or whether you go to, well, through the ministry in some cases, I guess, appears to be an issue, right? Because earlier when our guest Dr. Ong laid it out, they're very clear guidelines. The item has to be fit for usage. It has to be safe for use. There are very specific things that are said. And she made it very clear that those things extend above and beyond the warranty and guarantee that is provided by the people who sold you the item. So even if it is beyond that period of time, right, you should still be able to say, well, hey, I bought a car and I can't drive it, which is a very basic and clear consumer complaint.
Keep those thoughts coming. Share your experiences with us. Have you ever paid for an item and then found that it was faulty? What did you do? You can call 7733-2900, send us a voice note or WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back after this for more of your messages. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Bring forth Moolah, BFM 89.9.
It's 6:49. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn, and we're talking about the a lemon law in Malaysia, or rather provisions for consumers to be able to seek redressal if they buy something and it turns out to be faulty. We've had these mechanisms in place for a while, but there's been a renewed call on the wake of the Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs Minister talking about introducing a lemon law. So let us know, have you ever bought something, found it to be faulty? What did you do after that? You can call 7733-2900, send us a voice note or WhatsApp at 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have a voice note. This is Ravi.
I think basically, especially for those electronic parts, right? Okay, for example, whenever I purchase a laptop, I look especially for those that offer 3 years or 4 years with complete coverage. That means if you're entitled to a one-to-one replacement of parts, if the laptop is totally damaged, yeah? Yeah, for cars, it's basically knowing how to push buttons, right? If the dealer doesn't do anything, then I think you have to escalate it to the brand owner or the parent company, and then I think you need to follow up. I would say it's all about making your case known to them, how unhappy you are, and of course when you have that occasional or most of the time those type of resellers who just basically don't give you the time of day, you know, lesson learned, bite the bullet, never buy from them again. So stick to those well-known brands that have reliable after-sales service. I think that's worth pursuing rather than, you know, buying something cheap just because, you know, buying something that is functional and cheap, but it doesn't have that reliability or after-sales. Yeah, right? That's my thoughts anyway. Again, knowing, you know, how to push buttons, that's the key word.
Ravi, thanks for those thoughts. If you'd like to share yours, keep them coming. What do you do when you buy something faulty? Do you also push buttons? You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp, or send us a voice note at 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. I just want to say I find it very difficult to do that, the pushing buttons, the playing the game, as it were.
Well, I mean, there is that, and there is also, to your point, Ravi, about buying reliable brands and therefore brands with good after-sales service. Maybe it's easier in those instances where there are clear lines, right? Clear lines to call, but also clear lines of raising issues where you know where to go, and therefore a little bit of the guesswork is taken out of it. So I think that's a good idea. I think, however, that it can be tricky when we also have people in our messages talking about brands that are A, very expensive, and B, ostensibly reliable, and then turning out not so. So I can't name the brand on air, although I can't name the brand on air, but there is one particular automotive brand that is really being brought up a lot. So Raz, firstly, pointing out, the tribunal doesn't cover items above 50K. A lemon car could cost above 100,000. My friend bought from this particular brand that has a faulty gearbox. They couldn't fix it after numerous attempts. Finally, they offered my friend to trade in the car for a lower value version, which is problem-free. He lost thousands of ringgit because when you trade in, the value has depreciated. And, you know, that's an interesting one because it just makes no good sense, right? If you think of it from the perspective of a car buyer, Ayub also says, well, I bought a car, same brand, sent it to the workshop. During repair, the car engine was put on fire. It happened 3 months ago, and so far they've not been able to rectify it, and it'll take another 3 to 6 months before I hope I can receive my car.
So clearly cars are really very... I don't even know how to put it, right? It's an item that you purchase that is so significant in your day-to-day. It's also, as we've said, and with those numbers, they're not cheap. And knowing that you're almost being given the runaround and that there isn't much that you can do or seemingly you can't do, I can imagine that it's incredibly frustrating. And we go back to something you said earlier, Lynn, that there needs to be more clear, accessible information from the authorities in terms of what consumers can do so that they can avoid exactly this sort of treatment.
Yeah, and especially again, when already you've spent a lot of money because the brand in question is very expensive. And so I think that that's quite key as well. We also have Stephen who says, after listening for half an hour, sorry, Stephen, now I guess it's 54 minutes. I've heard the mention of used car many times, but I cannot conclude, do we have protection for buying used cars? And the answer to that, from what I can gather at least, is simply put, yes, yes, you do. If it is below 50,000, then you have the tribunal.
Yes. And I guess that's the challenge here, right? As with some of our listeners earlier, the fact that if it is a higher ticket item, then it becomes not just more painful, but also more difficult to seek that kind of redressal. Munif says, my mom is the opposite of most mere mortals. When we get faulty stuff, she goes into beast mode and writes to the manager, online reviews, Facebook posts, and causes as much ruckus as persistently possible until the sellers relent and compensate us with a little apology gift on top of it. No need for lemon, timon, apple laws, just unbridled rage.
Munif, your mom is my hero. I just
does
need
she
to
give
learn
classes?
More. Because you see this sometimes, right, in the reviews where people are scuttling around in the comments or in the replies saying, yes, yes, sorry, I have replied your email. And I am seeing now how you get there. S says, I bought a vacuum on Lazada. When I received it, the box was damaged and opened as if it's not a new set. When I asked the dealer, he told me they sell vacuums, not boxes.
Oh, that cheek. That is too much.
Right? That's quite a lot.
Keep those thoughts coming. What have you done if you've bought something and it just wasn't working? It was faulty. You can call us 7733 2900. You can send us a voice note or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.